couple slugs in there and acts like it's no big deal. So I got a nice little bruise right there. Anyways, my goal today is to give each one of you writer's cramp.
All right.
Because I'm going to give you a lot of information. Now, I want to start off real quickly, and I'm going to share a couple different trains. I had a hard time figuring out what I wanted to share with you today. So I got down to two and decided, well, I'll just give you both. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So I thought it was really interesting. This first thing I'm going to show you is kind of compare what it is that we're building here in Prepaid Legal and how it takes sacrifice, sacrifices away from, you know, your favorite TV show to build a business with Prepaid Legal. Sometimes it takes sacrifice away from your family. You know, each of you are away from your family. You're here today. And so when you think about building Prepaid Legal, you gotta have to realize what are you building and why are you doing it. And I thought this was kind of interesting. But you know, one of the excuses for quitting as an associate is that they think it might work. It might work. And so sometimes anybody sponsors somebody in the business and say, you know what, I'm gonna try this thing out. Anybody got that before?
Yeah.
See, my response every time I hear that is like, great, I'm going to try to support you. You know, it's interesting. When they say, I'm going to try this thing out, they don't get what they're saying. But when I say, I'm going to try to support you, they get it. It's funny, huh? How words matter. And so it's not that it might work. It's already working. If you work it, then it's going to work for you. So understand that as we continue to build this, that the money will come, you know, but it takes time to build that. And there's, you know, we're going to talk about real quickly just a plan about 5 years to freedom. Now, the first example we're using, we're going to compare this with the job and then also if you own your own business. So let's say, for instance, in year one at your job, you're making $3,000 a month, or $36,000 a year. Half of that goes to taxes anyways. But, you know, you've got $36,000 a year. Now, number one here, your boss really, really likes you, so they give you a 7% raise. How many of you know that's a pretty good raise? That's a good raise. They really like you, right? So they give you a 7% raise, now you're making $38,000 in year two. Going to the next year, your boss really likes you, and then the next year they give you another 7% raise and a promotion worth 10%. So in year three, you're making $45,000 at your new job. Okay? Now, in the corporate America raise, we're doing pretty good. Would you agree? Okay? Now, I'm not taking taxes out of that, but... So now, in year four, you get another 7% raise, making $48,000. And year five, you get another 7% raise. How many of you have gotten a raise every single year? A few of you? Okay. Doesn't happen too often, does it? Okay. Yeah. I remember, part of my support team was Kyle Kimbrough. Many of you probably know him. And he was actually working two different jobs prior to Prepaid Legal. He was he calls himself an Italian dough transportation boy. And he was a pizza delivery guy. And... sounded a little better though, huh? And then he also worked a job at JCPenney's, and JCPenney's didn't like him working this other part-time job. And so they said, hey, listen, we want you to get rid of that job, and we'll give you a raise. And they gave him a 25-cent raise.
Wow.
So he could quit his other job. You know, that's great if you get a raise every year, but if it's only 25 cents, it's not really making that big of a dent. But year five, so you get a 7% raise, now you're making $51,000 a year. Now, from $36,000 to $51,000 in 5 years, that's pretty good in corporate America. Wouldn't you agree?
Government job.
Government job, yeah. So let's go to the... Now, you're climbing up that corporate ladder, but what if you own that ladder? You know, you were the boss. Let's kind of show the difference here in what you can do with Prepaid Legal. In your first year, you recruited 5 associates. That's a total of 6 people on your team, right?
Yeah.
Now, how many of you are less than 3 months in the business. Raise your hand. We want to see you. Okay? Let's give them a hand. Awesome. Quite a few of you. Okay? Now, I want you to think about this. Can all of you see yourself bringing on 5 new associates in your first year? Right? Right? You can see yourself doing that? Okay? So if you do that, now you've certainly recovered your investment and you made a few $100. Kind of a little bit different than corporate America where they pretend to pay you and you pretend to work. Right? You're going to get paid for the value that you bring to the marketplace. Now, in your second year, you help recruit 5 people and to recruit 5 people each. Now your team is 26 strong, and you're earning a few $100 a month. Okay, well, it starts slow, but as you continue to grow it, in your third year, you teach and help your 25 to recruit 5 a piece. Now your team's 126 strong. Now you're earning a few $1,000 a month. Okay? In the fourth year, you teach and help your 125 people recruit 5, and each person sells 2 memberships in that year. Is that a lot? It's nothing, right? 2 memberships that year. Now your team's 625 strong. There's 104 memberships sold each month. You're an executive director. Your minimum override is $45 per membership on that team. Now your income is $4,600 a month just on those overrides. That's $56,000 per year. Is it getting better?
Yeah.
You want to see the next year? Okay, in the fourth year at your job, you made $48,000. So you're already ahead of your job after the fourth year. In your fifth year, you teach and help 625 people recruit 5 apiece, and each person sells just 1 membership that year. You're 3,000 people strong in your business, and I can tell you, within 5 years, I have a lot more than 3,000 people in my business. There are 2,060 memberships sold each month. Now you're an executive director earning a minimum of $45 override. That's $11,000 a month. That's $140,000 a year. In the fifth year at your job, you made $51,000. See, now, what people usually focus on, though, is they focus on the $36,000. Where's that laser pointer? I'd like to use that. And if they focus on, on the job, they're like, oh, I got money coming in, but they don't realize the trap that they're in for the rest of their life. Because they're just going to continue, their raises, typical raises, don't even keep up with inflation and taxes.
Those aren't typical.
And those aren't typical raises. Right? And so when they get started with prepaid legal, they focus on, well, I'm not making any money yet. But they lose sight of the end goal. And 5 years now, as your team starts to duplicate, or maybe 10 years from now, your team duplicates, you're going to be making far more than you would have ever made at a job. And some people think, well, I just want that safe, secure paycheck at a job. It's only safe and secure until they decide to let you go. And then you got to do it all over again. Now, how many people are getting let go in today's economy?
Lots.
Okay, and so I just wanted to kind of share this with you because I think it's really interesting as you compare the two. In 5 years, your team composition has 2,500 associates that have been in the business for less than 1 year. 500 associates have been in the business for less than 2 years. 25 less than 3 years. So the thing that you really need to know is that if you stick and stay, you're going to get what? Your pay. And you work your business every day, and that will help you to create that and make that dream happen, to have that lifestyle and that freedom. To truly enjoy life because you own it. Okay, so my next training is we're going to get into the nuggets and really dive into the details of having success in prepaid legal. And this training is how to build a large organization in prepaid legal. How many of you want to know how? Yeah? Okay, we're going to talk about how. And now, how many of you are familiar with... we want to keep it simple. We do that by the 10 core commitments, right? I think that's my next slide. All right. Okay, the 10 core commitments. What is the first of the 10 core?
Get promoted.
Okay. Get promoted. What's the next one?
Two
exposures a day. Right? Next one? Weekly briefing. Next one? What's that? Not, we're not there yet, but yeah, that's one of them. Okay, somebody said training. We actually left one out. Long distance packages is in there. Okay. Oh, that's number five. Okay. So we got our trainings. We got our, what's other events do we have? Briefings, trainings, Super Saturdays, this event. What else do we have? Conventions. Workout partner. Personal development. And be here a year from now. Okay, now that's the 10 core. And that's, some of you think, okay, well, that, you know, that, I can do that. But what's interesting is most of the people in this room are not 10 core. They're not. And if you were, your business would probably be where you want it to be. And we could go through it, and we could go through each one and have you grade yourself, and it's probably not where you want it to be. But if you are core, what do you think of when you think of core? What is that word? What does that word come to mind? What is it when you think of core?
Dedicated.
What's that?
Dedicated.
What was this over here? Huh? 100%. Any other ideas? Fundamentals. Okay, fundamentals. Committed. When I think of core, I think somebody who's just sold out. They're committed without a doubt. See, my dad was core to his job in corporate America. He started at Lockheed Martin, kind of at the bottom of the ladder, worked his way up to the vice, just under the vice president as a chief over a large department. And he was core. When he was younger, he wasn't as core in the corporate ladder because when I was younger, because, you know, he was actually my T-ball coach. He went to all my games. He coached my games. But the more he climbed up that corporate ladder, the more responsibility came. And when I got into high school, I played baseball for a team. Our high school went almost to state finals every year. And he never saw one game. So when I think it mattered most to me, he wasn't there. Because he was core. He was sold out to his job at corporate America. And what's interesting is, 2 weeks before Christmas and 6 months before retirement, they fired every 60-year-old in his department, including him. So he sacrificed his children's memories to be core. See, he wasn't the boss. He didn't make those decisions. But if we're the boss and we're core, and to the 10 core commitments, then we can build an amazing business that can provide that income, that lifestyle that we all dream to accomplish. So now, how many agree there's a lot of details in the core commitments? Okay? If you go through the 10 like we just did, well, okay, great, simple. But there's a lot of details. And so what I want to share with you are those details. I want to share with you the little things that make a big difference in this business. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into the training. Let's talk about mindset. Now, couple things I want you to think about. Think like a leader. There's a principle called act as if principle. When I first got started in prepaid legal, the lady who sponsored me and my brothers, we asked her, well, what should we wear? And she goes, well, dress for success. Look sharp. And me and my brothers, we showed up to our first event. We were in suits. They weren't the nicest of suits. Matter of fact, mine had a big old hole right there in the knee, right below my knee. Chris, my brother Chris, he had big holes in the back there where the moths had eaten through his suit. And he looked good from the front as long as he just was shaking hands like this. He looked all right. But we all looked pretty sharp when we walked in the room. And it was interesting how we were treated because of the way we looked. Matter of fact, people came up to us and were like, hey, what's your name? Are you guys the guest speakers tonight? We were guests. And they were thinking we were the guest speakers. Well, oh, no, we're just here checking things out. Okay? But act as if. Look at the, what are the leaders, what do they look like? What do they act like? Act as if. I don't like the saying, fake it until you make it. Because I don't think you should fake anything. But you can certainly act as if you want to be a platinum executive director. Act like a millionaire club member. Set goals and time limits. Create a dream board of the things that you want to accomplish. You know, put that dream board out there. I remember that I created a dream board that was on my computer, and I still have it today, where I have these rotating pictures of things that inspire me. And one of the things that used to be on my screensaver as it would rotate was my dream car at the time. And it was a Lexus GS 350. And that was my dream car. I thought it was just the most beautiful car on the road. And I used to watch that car, and I'd see it. And I'd go to the dealership, and I would go and sit in it and smell that fresh leather. And then I owned it. Because it was no longer a dream, this business allowed it to be a possibility. And dream boards will help you create that. But most people don't spend the time to create their life, to create their business and what they really want in their business. They'll spend more time planning their family vacations than they will their own life. Dream boards are incredibly powerful. So set those goals and the time limits and when you want to create it. Be coachable. Put the ego aside. So many times people get started in this business, they just think, oh, I've got to figure it out, or, you know, oh, I was a top curtain sales guy. I can rip this business up, man. I'm going to go start. I'm going to make you rich. Matter of fact, when people tell me that, it's like the cursed words, you know? It's like, oh, I'm going to make you rich. And it's, oh gosh, I wish you wouldn't have said that. Why is that? Because everyone who tells me that quits. Because it's not about me. It's not about making me rich. Make yourself rich. Go build a business. So be coachable, though. You know, because there's going to be things and systems in this business. If you've never built a successful, independent, voluntary organization, then you've never done anything like this in your life. You've got to understand, you've got to be coachable, because it's totally different. Okay. Be focused on the goal, not on the short term. So many people, and I know there's many of you that are managers and directors in this room, that you are focused on your monthly check. And your monthly check might not be where you want it to be. And it's discouraging to you. Don't focus on the check. That's focusing on the short term. Focus on the long-term goal. Focus on what this business is going to do for you if you stay the course. Many of you managers and directors in the room know that you're doing enough activity. You're doing, you know, you're heading in the right direction. Let me do a real quick check. By the show of hands, how many of you feel like that you're doing the business right? Raise your hand. If you feel like you feel like you're doing the business right, raise your hand high so everybody can see your hand. Okay? Not very many hands. Now keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Now, from those who feel like you're doing it right, how many of you and or feel like you're doing it enough? I don't see any hands. So usually when people are not having the success they want, it's either they're not doing it enough or they're not doing it right. And if they are, then they probably need personal development, more personal development. Continue working on themselves, working on their skills. Let's move on. Use a system, be consistent. There is a system in prepaid legal, and if you're consistent, you are on the right track. And you'll continue to have success. Your business will start to grow. Read the right books. Listen to the right audios. This is part of personal development. Okay, I'm sharing the details of how to help people have more success. This is how you build a large organization. And I see a lot of you are taking notes, and I'm glad to see that. But it's not just taking these notes, it's internalizing these notes. It's doing these details. It's doing the small things that's going to help you build this large organization. The 10 core commitments is obviously the big picture of it, but these are all the little things that take place within the 10 core. Learn from, but don't fear mistakes. You know, I got to share, right before I flew out here, I was able to become a pilot. Was one of my dreams, and be able to fly my own plane. And I was sharing with Mr. Hall how I took a flight with my brother Mike to Cheyenne, Wyoming. The airport I fly out of in Loveland, Colorado, is not a controlled towered airport, and so you just speak to the other pilots in the air to let them know your intentions. And when you get into a control tower, they tell you everything that you need to do, and you just follow their instructions. And so it was the first time I've ever flown into in a controlled tower airspace by myself without an instructor. And so I was certified and was checked off, and so legally I was able to do it, but I was uncomfortable. It was a new thing to me, and I was really nervous about it. But my brother Mike, he was kind of egging me on. He was like, "So what? You know, so what if you make a mistake? You know, we'll figure it out." And I'm like, "Yeah, so what? The FAA will come down my throat, you know." And he was like, "No, man, you'll do fine. You'll do fine. Let's go." And so I rented some, I bought some videos that kind of talk to you how do you talk to the control tower. And I'd watch those videos the night before, late in the night. And so we get into the plane, and about halfway to Cheyenne, my brother's side, the passenger's door flies open in mid-flight, and our navigational chart flies out the window in some farmer's field, and so he's kind of freaking out, and he yanks his leg back, hits the stick, and throws us into a left bank, so then he grabs the door and shuts it, and I'm like, I'm aborting, I'm not going, I'm already stressed out about flying to Cheyenne. I'm not gonna do it. I'm going home. And he goes, "No, I got the door. I got it. It was fine. I'll just hold it the whole time." Well, because he's my workout partner, right? So he's pushing me, and I'm beyond my comfort zone. And I'm like, "Are you sure?" And he was like, "Yeah, I got the door." And I was like, "Okay." So we fly in, and we talk to the control tower. We get permission to get into that airspace. And then he says, "Report back 5 miles." And then I report back. And then I did really good at my first part of communication until he actually started to tell me what to do. Then I messed it all up. And he tells me to go, "Hey, go set up in this direction." And I'm setting up, and he calls me back, and I'm in the plane is called a Remos. And he goes, "Remos, you're going the wrong way." So I fly back the other way, feeling like a total idiot. And then he was like, "Okay, fly this heading." And so I'm flying that heading, and he comes back, "You're going the wrong way." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I'm just screwing it up royally." And then he says, "Okay, you're clear to land on this runway." And I'm clear, I'm landing on the wrong runway. So he said, "Come in on 27, I'm coming on 31. So then he comes back and he goes, "Remus, you're coming in on 3-1. There's a really strong crosswind. Are you sure you want to do that?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh." So I was like, "No." And I turn around. He goes, "Okay, you're clear to land on 27. So I come around and I land on 27. All right. I share that story. How many of you think I felt like an idiot? Okay. I certainly didn't want to go in that control tower and say, "Hey, I'm the guy who's flying the Remos." Yeah, I'm the idiot. And I share that story because we all feel like that when we get started in prepaid legal and you make mistakes. Some people are so scared to make the mistakes, they never do them. And I'll tell you, I learned so much from that experience flying into Cheyenne. I am so much more comfortable now, after really screwing it up, to go back and attempt it again, because I learned from my mistakes. And you'll make mistakes in this business, and that's okay. When you make them, learn from them. One of the worst things you could do is make the mistakes and just say, "Oh, I made a mistake, and it didn't work out well," and you go and you talk to the same person without evaluating what you did wrong. Talk to the next person, and you have another horrible experience because you never evaluated what went wrong. So you want to plan, do, review. Plan the activity, which I did when I was flying. Do the activity. It's amazing what you learn from just watching videos or reading your success guide in Prepaid Legal versus, and then do it, and then review the activity. Okay? Organize your daily schedule. I will tell you, if you want to create a more productive life, I will give you one simple tip. Plan your day before you go to bed. Plan your day before you go to bed. I'll tell you, the most productive I've ever been is when my wife, and my wife is my accountability partner, when my wife helps me plan my day before I go to bed. See, what you're doing is you're creating the blueprint for your business, for your life, for the next day. Now, when you build a house, would you ever just want to build a house with no plans? No. I mean, that would not turn out well at all. So you spend a few minutes, just a few minutes, to plan the day before you go to bed. You know what happens? Your mind will actually work on creating and visualizing what that day is going to be like. So when you actually live that day or build it, it is so much better, so much more productive. Be happy. Have fun. Okay, too many people take the business too seriously. When they do screw up, they're just like, my mother and I, when we were flying to Cheyenne, I never screwed up, but I was just, I just told my brother, I was like, oh my gosh, I sound like such an idiot. But I had fun, looking like an idiot. And it's okay. Have fun. If you mess up, I love what Dave Sobola says. You know, there's three lines that he says. You know, hey, I got something I want to show you. You may or may not be interested. And it'll only take about 15 minutes, you know. He says, if you call somebody up and you say, hey, I got something I want to show you, and I got something I want to show you, and you say show twice, he goes, just hang up. He goes, they'll call you back and say, what was that all about? And I was like, I just screwed it up. Never mind. That's why I hung up. I just messed up. You know, and then he'll say, well, what'd you mess up about? And then you can tell them. Okay, just have fun. You know, just have fun with the business. Now, let's move on and talk about some other principles. Map out your goals. So let's be a little more specific here when we're talking about goals. What do you need to attain the certain promotions? You know, we saw lots of people who got recognized on walking the stage and getting recognized for their first advancement to go to associate, to senior associate, to manager, and beyond. I think a lot of reasons why people don't advance and have more success is because they don't even know what it takes to advance. Most people, you know, you ask them how to fast start qualify. You know, some people, if they never fast start qualify, they probably can't even tell you. So know what it takes to get to that next advancement. Work backwards from the goal. So, for example, if your goal is to go executive director this month, how many memberships do you need to go executive director? 60 memberships. Okay, 60 individual memberships. So you work that goal backwards. Find out, okay, here's 60. I need 60. Now, how many organizational sales am I going to get from each one of my director teams? How many memberships can I get from the managers and senior associates? So you work it backwards to see what it really breaks down to. Because so many people, they throw that idle goal out there and it's like, oh, I'm going to be executive director this month, and they haven't ever done even five counters in a month. You know, oh, but I'm going to do it. They really haven't taken the time to figure out what it takes to get there. Keep your objectives simple. So what do? In Prepaid Legal, we gather people and we share information. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time today. I know there were some people that asked me some questions at the barbecue last night. And having some problems with getting people to view the information. How many of you have gotten people to view the information? I've had challenges getting people to look at the information. Okay, how many of you have had challenges getting people to, after they viewed the information, following up with them? How many of you have had challenges in getting people on a three-way phone call? How many of you have had challenges getting people to a live event? Okay? You know, all of those things are training issues. They're all training issues. And each one of those, you're going to have challenges. And it kind of builds on itself. The first one is just, how do I get people to take my phone call? How do I create interest? Or if I give them information, how can I follow up with them to really get them more information? I think the question was, I want to sit down for 15 minutes and show them what we do in prepaid legal, but they won't give me 15 minutes. And not always, but in most cases, there's something going wrong in what you're doing prior to that point. There's something going on. And I'm not going to get into those details today, but all of those can be learned just by doing the activities. By doing these things I'm going to share with you today, you'll figure out all that stuff if you do these things that I'm sharing with you today. Does that make sense? That's why last time I think I was here, I went into those details. But I'm not going to go into that today. But I will tell you, all of those details will be figured out if you do these things that I'm sharing. Okay? Set daily, weekly, and monthly goals. Know what you want to accomplish. I love that example of Mr. Lucas Hill talking to his brother Scotty, and getting him to get those Director 25. Because, see, that's... Scotty, I don't want to pick on you here, but I am. See, how many people do what Scotty did at first? Where they're like, I'm 20 counters. Yeah, I know I made that goal, but... I got my kid here. We're watching Disney shows. I love that Disney show. and then they just kind of give up before the month is over. I love what you said, though. You're like, I got on the phone. I made a few calls. I called 3 people. Nobody answered. And then he says, it's just not cut out. It's not going to happen for me. I tried. I got 3 people, no one answered. It's just not going to work. Okay, that is what losers say. But what did he do? He listened to his workout partner who encouraged him to go beyond what he thought he could do. And he became a winner. You see the difference? People who quit short of their goals never accomplish their goals. They never get to where they want to go in this business because they quit. They quit too short. It's the little extra, the little bit extra that helps you accomplish that goal. And most of the goals will take place in the last 20% of the time. And look what happened to Scotty's business. Now he's got new associates that are helping explode his new team. That is such a perfect example of success. Give him a hand, yeah. Identify your players, organize your core call. Now again, this is more of a leadership thing. If you're new in the business, then you want to find out if your team is putting on core calls. If you've got a team that's growing, or maybe you're maybe you're recruiting from a long distance associate, maybe you don't have a support team that's actively involved in the business. Now there's very little chance that that's true. But there are some people that just don't have it. For instance, when me and Mr. Hall got started, we didn't have the support team that was involved in leadership of things. We didn't have a conference call. We didn't have any of those things in place. So what did we do, Mr. Hall?
Did a three-way calling phone chain.
We did three-way phone call chains. Because, the conference boards were really expensive back in that day. Today, they're free. But we couldn't afford the conference bridges. So what we did was I would call up Mr. Hall. Mr. Hall would call somebody on his team on three-way. So he would call somebody else, and they would call somebody else, and they would call somebody else. And that was how we had our conference calls. And back then, the technology was, it was actually about the same as today. But, the call would drop, and we'd lose half our conference call. But we did it anyways. And so we had those little huddle calls, and it was exciting. It was great to hear from the team and what's going on. And, so I encourage you. Those huddle calls, those core calls are incredible. And that's where you really get to learn on what's going on in your organization. Focus on helping your team hit their goals. You've got to remember that the business is not just you. I mean, if you're building a team and you've got a lot of active associates on your team, let's say you've got 20 or more active associates on your team. What those 20 people can do will blow away what you will ever be able to do by yourself if you can help them do the right activity. Okay, so let's talk about activity. Lead by example, being Players Club. I love that idea, and I'm going to suggest it back in our state when I go back home, the Players Club and all those people being recognized up there on that slideshow, having their picture up there. You know, Players Club should be the minimum standard that each one of you set. And I'm telling you, if you are Players Club qualified, I'm sorry, if you are 10 core committed, and you're doing your two exposures a day, every single day, think about that. You expose two new people every single day to your business. How many people are you working with by the end of the month? 60. You take those and follow up, because not all of them are going to sign up right there, right? There's going to be several follow-up exposures. Most people take 5 to 7 exposures anyways. You roll some of those people into the next month. Now you've got 60 the next month, plus the ones that you're following up with. Can you imagine? I mean, you just, if you do that every day, that your follow-up pool gets massive. But most people don't do two exposures a day. So if you're core and you're committed, and what are you committed to? Committed to having more time with your children, committed to have a brighter future, worried about the workforce and going out and getting a job you want to provide for your own, maybe it's retirement. It's that why, it's that what drives you. That's why we should be doing the two exposures a day, isn't it? Should you be doing two exposures a day because your upline told you to? No. Most people just get mad if your upline told you to. You should do it for yourself. Do it for what it's going to help you become. Help all the new associates on your team fast start qualify. For those of you who haven't noticed yet, if you go to your statistics page on your back office, there's a new line there. And it tells you how many people are in the process of fast start qualifying, and it tells you when their date is and when they're going to cancel. So you can click on that link there, and you can see all the people on your team and when that deadline is. It's a powerful new tool that Prepaid Legal has made very convenient for us. Because I don't know about you guys, but I check that pretty much every day. Okay, I want to see what my daily deposits are. And so as you go there, click on that link. Get familiar with who those people are in the process of fast start qualifying. Dig into those new associates list and dig into your new associates list and into your team. So your team is one of the greatest benefits that you have. You know, some people may end up exposing their list and you run out of names. You know, you don't have to, you'll never completely run out of names. But when you get new associates, they all have new lists. And so really you want to dig into that team and help them out. Attend and promote for all pertinent events. Business briefings, trainings, conference calls, Super Saturdays, national conventions, etc. You know what I think is interesting? The last time I was here, we had a barbecue at your house, and there was probably 2 to 3 times as many people at that barbecue than there was last night. And last night is a special opportunity, because there's a Q&A session to where you can ask whatever question you want. And sometimes people are a little leery about asking, you know, challenges that are going on in their business maybe in front of other people. And some people walked up and asked me on a one-on-one, and we were able to talk and share those things. I'm telling you, there's so many nuggets that you can get in those kind of events, in a Q&A session, because you can ask your questions and get the answers catered to you. I challenge you, go to everything. Find a way to fit it in. People in this business are so quick to make excuses why they can't go to an event. you know, they their screen door fell off. Oh, I can't go to, I mean, I can't let my house fall apart. I got to fix my screen door. And I had a guy on my team. He was like, oh, he told me that. He was like, oh, you know, I had to finish tiling my bathroom. You know, we were doing my bathroom and we had to get the tile up, and so I couldn't make it to the vent. I was like, don't understand, that's messed up, right? I mean, if you want to have success, you show up to the vents. It's wrong activity, wrong time. When I got started, I was in my public internship. I was taking over 30 hours a semester. I was tied up from 7 in the morning to 7 at night with a one-hour lunch break. How many of you, that's busy? In the first 52 weeks in the first year of my prepaid legal business, how many business briefings would you guess that I attended? What would you say? 52? What is it, somebody said something? What? About 80. Because there were several choices to go to in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. As busy as I was, I didn't miss events. I didn't miss the opportunity to surround myself around the people who had what I wanted. What I knew is, if, you know, I wanted to go hang around the people who were making money. And what I knew is they weren't at my house. So I wanted to go get around them and learn from them. And so often people will miss those incredible nuggets. And you never know what event will just change everything for you. I remember specifically one convention. And I'd have to go back to my notes to get the details. But I remember there was a convention that I went to. And I was kind of having a challenge of just getting out of my shell, you know. And just kind of, I don't care attitude, you know. I mean, those people are not paying my bills. And I wasn't thinking like that at first, but I went to this convention, and someone was talking about these things from stage. It was so what I needed to hear. And it gave me that tough skin, and I'll talk more about that, that just, I just didn't care. I didn't care what people thought. You know, I think that, oh yeah, is this one of those network marketing things? You know, I was just like, I had confidence, I had belief, and I was just like, yes it is, and it's one of the greatest ways to get rich. You want to learn more? You know, I didn't let their thoughts hurt me like I did before. You know, when people say, is this one of those pyramids? I mean, just the fact that they said that, I'd be like, well, no, I mean, not really. It's like, you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, it's just like, they just shove a staff right through you, you know? And it's just like, and it hurts, you know? And it's not like they're even saying anything. But I let the word get to me. And I heard this talk at convention that just said, you know, they don't pay your bills, and, you know, they're not the ones that, they don't understand the lifestyle that this can give, and they're going to live a mediocre life for the rest of their life. And I'm like, damn straight! And I went home after that convention with so much, you know, confidence in what I wanted. And the very next convention, I was being recognized for the six-figure ring. What if I missed that event? What if I missed that? And I'm telling you, leaders, they don't miss. They don't make excuses. They go, even when they don't feel like it. And I remember there was a guy on my team, and, you know, became executive director on the team, but when he was first building, he had some family coming to town, and they were from out of state. And so he calls me up, and he just let me know, like he wanted to get permission from me that, you know, that I can't make it to the business briefing because I have family in town. And I said, well, why don't you bring him? Well, that's a great idea, huh? He was like, well, yeah, no, I don't know if it'd be for them. And, okay, notice what this is telling his family. I have this business. I'm supposed to be at a training event right now, but I'm not going to go because I got family in town. So what does that tell your family? It's not that important to go to the training. Now, what if you had family that came into town? You say, guys, listen, It's wonderful having you here. So good to see you. I know it's been years. But I'm building this business, and I'm very serious about walking away from my job, and I've got a training event. You're more than welcome to come with me, or you can hang out here, but I got to go. What does that tell your family? Do you see the difference? Do you see the little details here that I'm sharing on what a difference it makes? This is how you build a large organization. It's these little things. Okay, let's move on. Form open line calls, we talked about that. One of the things you can do to help your associates get into activity is, get the DVDs out for them. Start making those exposures. You send them out. I got a new associate came on board, and she gave me some of her top names, and I sent out 10 DVDs to her top names. Well, now she has to make that contact because they're like, why did you send me this DVD? The action has already begun, and now they can simply just follow up. Personal development, we talk about this several times. You can't have enough activity in personal development. Personal development, you know what this, I feel like personal development does for you? It helps keep you focused on what you want. When you're reading the good stuff, when you're reading the books, when you have somebody who tells you, no, you can't make that work, but you're involved in the good stuff, that tells you, you know what, you can have everything you want. And then you realize, I've got the vehicle that'll make it possible. See, personal development helps keep you focused on what you really want to accomplish. Some people that are like maybe middle-aged or higher have a challenge with personal development. Some people. Because they're developed, right? I don't need personal development. I'm already developed. It's the people that are humble and teachable and coachable and willing to realize that I can become more, I can have more, but I've got to increase my skills. And that's what personal development can help us do. Let's move on and let's talk about some gauges to track in your business. Okay, some gauges that you want to track is Players Club. How many people on your team are in Players Club? How many people are you going to help get into Players Club? I think the reports that Prepaid Legal provides with the e-service are one of the most valuable tools that we could have, that we can go on there and actually see what's going on in our individual organizations. Most new associates, they don't even use them. They don't even know what they are. And there's so many reports you can get lost. But you go in there and get familiar with those reports and you can see what's going on. You can see the Players Club report and see how many people are in it or who's even potentially close. And then you can call them up, encourage them. These are the things that you reach out to your organization that leaders become leaders because they're leading. They're making the phone calls. They're getting people. I think leadership has been defined a couple different ways. Jeff Olson's definition of leadership is getting people to do what they wouldn't have done unless you were involved. John Maslow calls leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. So you're influencing people just like Luke influenced Scotty to go get Director 25 done. Those are the things that make the big difference. Those are the things that get your organization moving and duplicating and creating momentum. Again, we talked about fast start qualification. You can go in there and see who's qualifying, how many people are qualifying, how many PBRs are going on in your organization or in-home meetings, how many people are attending the events. You guys know you can do inventory today and look around this room and find how many people are on your team at this event. And you can actually judge if your business is heading in the right direction based on how many people are pre-registered for the next Super Saturday. And you guys have an amazing speaker coming in, by the way. I'm not going to spoil it. I will let that wait. But you guys got an amazing speaker coming in. And you can track how many people on your team have pre-registered and bought tickets for the next Super Saturday. That lets you know you're heading in the right direction. We've got a competition with the three largest organizations in our marketplace in Fort Collins. And these three leaders that head up these teams, they compete friendly competition with each other. And so they'll walk around and they'll say, they're counting heads. You can see they're not counting everyone's heads. They're counting their team's heads. We're like, okay, yep. I had 15 people in the room. How many you got? And so they're just razzing each other, and it's fun because they've got this. And every time we have the meeting after the meeting, we go to the restaurant. They're like picking on each other. It's like, I had more than you. They're like, I had 15. No, you didn't have 15. That person walked out of the room and left. You only have 14. I had 15. They're just giving each other a hard time. But it's taking inventory. Like, how is your business growing? You think, you've got a whole month to build, and you think, we took up 3 chairs right now at this Super Saturday with me and my team. Well, you get with the 2 other people that are with you, you say, guys, listen, there's just the 3 of us. Well, let's do what Dr. Hughes is suggesting. Let's not come back with just 3 of us. Next month, let's get our tickets. Let's get some extra tickets so we can do a favor for the new people joining our business. Let's take a whole row. Are you in? Are y'all in? Yes?
Yes.
See, that kind of talk is what builds that vision to get your team to think a little bit bigger. Most people that walk out of here, they think, they don't even think they had 3 people in the chair, 3 seats taken up. They're just thinking, that was good. And they walk out and leave. They don't think about the future. But if you can build that vision and say, listen, there's 3 of us here. We could have taken a whole row if we just had 3 more. Let's take a whole row next month. Are you in? Knuckle bang, man. All right. Okay? You talk like that, that gets your team to think for the future, not just think in the present. Number of recruits in the month? Is the team up? Is it growing? Is it moving forward? You guys realize... Some people track momentum in their organization based on if the production is up that month. And that's not necessarily the way you track momentum. Because, see, your production, you could have somebody that went out and did 20 memberships. Bless you. You can have somebody that did 20 memberships. One person did 20 memberships in 1 month. Production spiked. And you think, we got momentum. But that's not the way to track momentum. The way you track momentum is how many people on your team produced a membership. That's how you track momentum. If you've got more people producing from 1 month to the next month, you have momentum on your side. What are your team's goals? Know what they are. Help them accomplish it. Just like, again, Luke, help Scotty. How many people are reading? What do I mean by that? Personal development. How many people on your team are reading? Ask them. There's a guy on my team. It's amazing. Every time I talk to him on a conference call, I can tell exactly if this guy's reading a good book or not. He is a dark cloud if he is not reading, and he is on fire if he is. It's just a major contrast. So find out, though, how many people are reading. Team promotions, contests. Run little promotions and contests for your team. It doesn't have to be big, and it doesn't have to be expensive. You can say, hey, there's a guy on my team down in Colorado, and he does his own little team event. And he says, Players Club by the 15th. If you have Players Club by the 15th of the month, they have he has a special dinner with his team at his house. Just this simple. It's not big. But these are things that you can do again. Get your team to get included and doing more than they would normally have done. Okay, a few couple important points. Stay plugged in. Don't miss anything. You never know when you're going to have something that's going to totally change your business. Have fun. Enjoy the business. Enjoy the journey. So many people think that it's going to be great when they have the lifestyle and the income. I'm telling you, it's still another day. It is great, but you've got to enjoy it while you're going through it. I'll share a story with you. I was at church last week, the person speaking was talking about marriage. He was saying how in marriage, people feel like they want to put off marriage until they have all the success they wanted, and then they'll get married because life will be better and marriage will be better. And he was saying that he believed that that's just simply is not true. And I agree. I believe that when you're together, joined in marriage, making decisions together, and you go through the challenges together, that makes you stronger as a couple. And I think the same thing applies in this business. When you go through those challenges, it makes you stronger. And, you know, when I first went to chiropractic school, I think I might have shared this last night, but I got married 1 week before I started chiropractic school. My first semester in chiropractic school was 28 hours. And then it went to 30, and then it went to 32. And so we went through an orientation class and to introduce us to the college, and they said, how many of you are married? A few people raised their hands, and I was engaged at the time. He said, if you're not married, don't get married, because you're just going to get divorced anyways. And I saw a lot of good families, a lot of couples that couldn't make it because of the crazy schedule as we're going through chiropractic school, and they end up getting divorced. But it was never a challenge for me and my wife, because we made those goals together. We understood that it was going to be hard. We understood it was going to take sacrifice, but we did it. And the same thing when we started Prepaid Legal. We understood it was going to be hard, but we were there together. Does that make sense? The speed of the leader is the speed of the pack. You know what? I always pray for people to pass me up. It's a wonderful thing when it happens. But I love this question. Is ask yourself, if my team did what I did today, would I have made any money? It's a real good self-check. Personal development every single day. Think and expect big things. A lot of times people, they don't expect it. They don't visualize that it'll even happen. But I'll tell you, if you think about big things happening, they'll happen. Recognize and minor the smallest accomplishments on your team. You know, I remember, I believe I was talking to Mr. Wheeler last night about this when he asked that question, what motivates you now at this point in the game, 11 years into it? And one of the things I talked about, it was like, you know, getting a new associate, that doesn't fire me up like it used to. You know, Travis, you know, what are you, number two recruiter in the company right now? Is that right? Give him a hand, y'all. Number two recruiter in the company. Or should I say Liz?
Liz.
So, you know, when you recruit a new associate, it's probably just another new associate. I mean, you probably get excited if they, you know, see big potential in them, but was it the same as when you got your first associate? Yeah, it just doesn't compare. And I remember when I first got started, you know, me and my family, me and my brothers, we were so tight, so close when we got started, and we'd call each other up. And we were so excited, we would call up the brothers and tell each other that we just made an exposure. Yeah, man, I talked to somebody today. It was awesome. We were so excited about that. And then it was like we graduated, and hey, I sold membership today. Hey, that's great, man. That's awesome. And, hey, I got a new associate. That's awesome. Well, so my brother Mike was kind of the last of the brothers to kind of get going in his business. So we had all tapped into the warm market. We got the whole family, and he wasn't left with a whole lot. And so, you know, we're already having great success and head executive director, and he's calling up, and he's like, hey, man, I got a new associate today. I was like, so I got three. And yeah, that's not very motivating to my brother Mike, you know. And what you need to remember, at whatever stage of the game you are in this business, you need to remember that the minor accomplishments to the new person are major. They're major. I mean, they're huge to the new person. creating a fun and social culture after the event. Culture is huge. It's huge. And that's what I really liked about the beginning of this training today, is that everybody was hanging out and socializing. And, you know, I don't like to come into an event where a bunch of people are just sitting down in the chairs, because that's not how you create culture. You create culture by getting up and go meeting people that you don't know and you haven't met, and especially the guest in the room with the, if they have a red tag on, go get to know the guest, you know. Don't cross the line, you know, if they're not your guest, you know, just welcome them and make them feel included, but don't get into other associates' business. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? Okay, some people are like, you know, hey, so you're a guest here? Oh, great. So who invited you? Oh, that guy? Oh, okay, great. So you signing up tonight? I bet you never sign up. Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't sign up about that presentation, that guy, he'll sign you up. You know, would you appreciate if somebody did that to your guest? Like, get away from my guest. Messing it up, man. Saying all this weird stuff to him. Okay, so, but welcome them. That's what's important. Make them feel included, okay? And then the after events are huge. I remember going to the after events in Fort Texas. The lady who sponsored, she didn't have a lot of money, but man, she was so nice and so generous. You know, we'd go into the events afterwards, and we didn't have the money to even buy meals, you know, out to eat. But we went anyways. And every now and then, Judy, who sponsored me and my brothers, she would get chips and salsa for all of us. Man, we get unlimited chips and salsa, and we'd go through that unlimited chips and salsa. And I remember we're hanging out and just talking, and we're so excited about the new business. And I remember my brother Jeff used to always say, he said, man, I'll tell you what, he's sitting back eating that chips and salsa. He says, you put some money on this lifestyle, you're going to get good. And he used to always say that because we didn't have money at the time. But we were enjoying the lifestyle. We were enjoying hanging out with our friends and with our team and creating that culture. Again, these are things that we all can do in our business, is the little things, creating culture, constantly building people's beliefs. And I got a guy on my team in Colorado that I talked about earlier. But he's got it, man. He's so sharp. He's got the skills necessary to have incredible success. But he's constantly doubting where he is because his business is not where he wants it to be. So he's wondering, you know, am I doing the right things? And I think it's great because he's always checking in with me, you know. Hey, you know, I, this is what's going on, and, you know, what could I do to improve? And that's good, but it was, you know, he also seems to be doubting himself sometimes. And so every time I'm talking to him, I'm always building on his belief. I'm always telling him, man, you've got everything that it takes. And then he'll call me up and say, hey, I did this, you know, or I sent this email out to the team, and he'll CC me on the email so I know how he's communicating to his team. And I call him out of the blue when I get that email. I'm like, dude, that email you sent to your team was incredible. The leadership that you have in your organization just blows me away. And how do you think that makes him feel? Yeah. But I'm always building that belief. And now he's an executive director. And so, you know, you got to look for those things. Look for what you can do. You know, Jeff Olson said, and I remember there was an executive director retreat at the Gaylord in Texas. You were there? And Jeff Olson came to speak just to a select group of executive directors, a very small, intimate group. And I was like, oh, man, this is great. It's only the leaders in the room here. He's going to tell us the good stuff. Because, I mean, if you heard Jeff Olson, you know, a lot of times Jeff Olson, he may say similar things, you know. And I've heard him train on so many different things, and I love it. And it's always great to hear those things as a reminder. But it seems to be similar on the things he taught. And I was like, you know, this is just going to be just the leaders. He's going to tell us the good stuff, man. This is the good stuff. And what did he say? The same stuff he had all been saying. You know, but he did say one thing. He said, one thing I wrote in my notes that was more of a leadership principle. And it has to do with this, constantly building people's belief. He said, when you're in front of a group of associates, you are always building their belief. You are always reselling the opportunity every time you get in front of a group of associates. Now, here's the question. How can you resell the opportunity and build that belief if you don't have it yourself? How do you get that belief? By doing all the things I'm training you on right now. Plug into the vents, hanging out with the other associates, the successful associates. Those are the things that will build your belief. Be grateful and sincere and genuine in all that you do and all that you say. You know, like, for instance, the people who walk the stage and being recognized. I love to hear the applause for all of those people. And some people are like, some of you in this room, I know you said this. Some of you in this room are like, I'm tired of clapping. Whatever, let's get the recognition out of the way, get to the training, I'm done with this. How many of you would be thinking that way if you were the one being recognized? You'd be like, yeah, bring the applause, louder, I can hear it, right? All of us are on one team, and that's Harlan Stone Cypher's team. And now think about if those people, if every one of those people were on your team being recognized, would you clap a little louder? Yeah, I think so. To be able to celebrate in other people's advancements and other people's successes, that's actually not what the average person would do. The average person does not celebrate in other people's success. The average person, the natural person, would say, they probably cheated. You know? Yeah, they're sharp. They have all these friends. They have these huge center of influence. They always want to find some way why they were successful and downgrade it as if it wasn't significant. That's what the natural person would do. So to celebrate someone else's success is an attribute of a successful person. Focus on the cause. What are we doing? We're changing people's lives with our service, empowering people with their rights, and we're giving people time and financial freedom and allowing people to buy their life back. Focus on that cause. If you want to build an army of people to conquer a territory, would you care who's in your army? Would you care who's in your army if you're going to conquer a territory? Do you want a bunch of weak people?
No.
Okay, imagine, Cortez, when he came and from Spain to conquer the Mayans, and he came over there and he pulls up, he gets his men out, he says, guys, we're going to conquer the riches of this land. We're going to go there and get all the gold, and we're going to take it back. And then he sends his men back to go back, and he says, man, I want you to go burn the ships that we just sailed in. And they're like, what? How are we going to get home? And he says, we're not going back in those ships. We will conquer, and we will run, and we will go back in those ships, but we're not going back in ours. Now, I don't agree, that's a leader that can inspire. Okay? Because there's no quitting. Now, I'm not saying that we want to go conquer and steal everybody's gold. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is the leadership principle behind what he did. There was no turning back. And so often people turn back. So what do we want in our army? We don't have time to waste on those not ready to go. Instead, we can just drip on them with information. Ask, can we keep you informed? That's a great way to keep the door open, by the way. When somebody says, well, it's not really for me, or it's not really, I'm not really interested or whatever, you can say, hey, that's okay, I understand. I appreciate being able to share this with you, but would you mind if I keep you informed on how things are going for me? What do you think most people would say? Yeah, that's no problem. And so it allows you to keep back, to keep talking to them. And again, move on to another exposure with a smile on your face. Two skills that I learned that made a huge difference in my business is helping create a sense of urgency and fear of loss. If you can help create that fear of loss, it gets people, or that sense of urgency, you're going to get people to take action that they normally wouldn't have done. And this is, again, this is a skill. It took me years to develop this skill. But when I learned it, my recruiting tripled when I learned this. Your market is all in North America. How do we get our prospects? Give me some answers. Warm market is it? Okay, warm market, cold market. What is the best to talk to? Warm market or cold market? Now, there's two ways you can work in your warm market. There's your warm market, and there's another way you can stay in your warm market. Their warm market. So that way, you're always staying in the warm market. You get into the cold market. How can we get more people to talk to in the cold market? We get into their warm market, right? But that's still driving the warm market. How can we continue to build in the cold market? Talk to people, okay? The 3-foot rule, y'all remember that? Okay, the 3-foot rule is somebody, if they're 3 feet from you, they're going to hear about prepaid legal, okay? Maybe wearing a prepaid legal t-shirt or driving your car with a prepaid legal information on your car. Now, if you have a 1986 Yugo, I probably wouldn't put that on there. I remember it was a couple times that I came out here. There was another network marketing company here. And I think this was probably like a 1986 Datsun B210. Or is that what it was called? Y'all remember those cars? Is that what it was?
A210?
Hatchback? Whatever it was. Ugly car. And on the back of the window, it said, I made like $97,000 last month. Ask me how. I'm like, for real? If you're making that kind of money, you ain't going to drive that kind of hoopty. So just keep in mind, we want to have a professional image. But, you know, just advertising, letting people know that you're in business. Everyone has a story. We write our own stories. What does it say? We write our own endings with the decisions that we make today and the actions we make from the decisions. Every car that passes is a person that wants more out of life and a person who needs our services, who does not yet know that we have a company that can help them. That's where we can get prospects to talk to. Every car that passes us, where is your story taking you? Some people need to learn how to tell their story. And it's not hard. Like, what's your name with the ring, Leon?
Chase.
Chase? Chase, what do you do for, how long have you been in prepaid legal?
2 weeks?
Give him a hand. Welcome. What do you do for a living?
Prepaid legal.
That's it? Okay, what did you do prior to prepaid legal?
I sold Adobe software.
Sold Adobe software, okay. Why is it that you are, what happened to that job?
I didn't like it. I didn't like spending time, trading time for money.
Okay. Why did you get started in prepaid legal? Okay. What did you do at Adobe?
I sat in a cubicle in a desk. I had a little headset on and took calls coming in and sold people software, asked them a lot of questions, and put their car credit card numbers into a system.
Okay. So not on the software side, more on the processing side?
It was just sales. They call in, hey, I'm trying to do this to a photo. What do I need? Oh, you need Photoshop.
Oh, okay. Photoshop. Okay, and you sell them Photoshop. Are you married?
No, I have a girlfriend of 6 months.
6 months, okay. And what do you want from prepaid legal?
Time and financial freedom. I want to be able to choose where I live, what schools that my kids go to, where I go out to eat every night, and what cars I drive, what I can do for my family and friends, the people I help, the service I can share with people, which the whole thing goes on.
Okay, that's awesome, right? Now, he just told me his story. But to tell it, you got to put it in the story form. And so I'll tell Chase's story. Hi, my name is Chase. Prior to prepaid legal, I was actually selling software for a software company. I was sitting in a little computer. I couldn't stand it. I wanted to have more in my life. And then I was introduced to prepaid legal. For the first time in my life, I realized there was no ceiling on my head and I can accomplish whatever I want with this business. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. Right? So, I just gave you your story. Write it down. But learn your story. Learn how to tell your story that it's going to inspire and make a difference in someone else's life. If prospects are not coming with you to the events, take it to them. Okay, so if people are not coming to your private business reception, listen, that's common. Don't get frustrated. If people don't show up to your private business receptions, take it to them. Go see them on their time, on their turf. Make it happen. This is your business. Don't let it just happen by chance. What's keeping you from having success? Is it fear? Worrying about what other people think? I'm telling you, they don't know what you have. Don't let their opinions bother you. Maybe it's breaking away from the system and doing things that are not part of prepaid legal. One of the things I did when I first got started is I thought, you know what? Oh my gosh, this service is so awesome. I'm just going to go around and put flyers on all the cars at the mall and we're going to get rich because everybody's going to call us and sign up for prepaid legal. I got one call. This guy just didn't even speak English. Total waste of time. But how many of you have ever been taught that in a Fast Start training class? Go out there and put flyers on a bunch of cars at malls. You were? Were you really? Okay? That's not part of the system. And it doesn't work and it doesn't duplicate. Now, it's illegal, yeah. So there is a system that works and duplicates, so stay in the system. Paralysis by analysis. So often, people, they feel like they have to know everything. I'm telling you, I would have never have made it to Cheyenne in that plane if I would have just had this, paralysis by analysis. If I thought, oh my gosh, I just got to keep studying. I've watched the video over and over and over again. I've seen it so many times that tells you how to talk to a control tower. But it wasn't until I actually did it, till I learned how to do it. Does that make sense? I mean, and just like you will never learn how to ride a bike by reading a book. You have to experience it. You read a book and it'll say, yeah, you just lift the pedal up and then you go down and lift the pedal down and just go around like that. You know, and there's this thing called balance, but you'll figure it out. Right? You can't figure out balance from a book. You got to do it. Overcoming adversity. We will all face adversity in this business. Nothing of value will come to you in your life without adversity. You're going to face adversity, whatever you do. Understand that your past does not have to equal your future. No matter what you were and whatever failures you had in the past, they do not have to equal your future. You can change all of that. And you can have success in all that you do. Surround yourself with the right associations. We've talked about that as well. As in any business, there's ups and downs, there's peaks and valleys. You'll face those challenges. Your stories and challenges will only serve as your story to help others down the road. So build your story. So I want to share with you a little bit more about my story as I conclude. The thing that will dictate your success more than anything is your attitude, and the way that you face the challenges and obstacles. You know, and I'll share another flying analogy. When you're looking out the window of your airplane, the horizon that you see is your attitude. And if your attitude is up, guess where you're going? If your attitude is up, if you're flying in the upright position, which way are you going? Up, unless you stall. If your attitude's down, you're going down. You're flying in downwards position. And your attitude in life will get you the same results. If your attitude is up, you're going up. If your attitude is down, you're going down. All of you will have little successes in your business that you can celebrate. But more often, people look for the negative things that are taking place in your business rather than the positive. Because I think it's natural. That's why personal development is so different. Personal development helps you focus on the positive things, the good things that are going on in your life. Create a rhino scan, become confident in yourself and your company. So let me share with you as I wrap up a little bit about my background. When I was 14 years old, me and my twin brother decided that we wanted to become doctors of chiropractic. And people cheered us on when we were 14 years old. Yeah, great goal, you know, you can do that. When I was really young, I would go hang out with my grandfather out in East Texas, who worked for the railroad and retired from the railroad. So what did I want to be when I grew up as a child? I wanted to be a choo-choo engineer. That's what I wanted to be when I was young. I wanted to be like my grandpa. And then I got a little older and I realized, hey, I want to go into chiropractic. So I had that as a goal, but then I got into high school and me and my twin brothers had severe learning disabilities, severe challenges, and I couldn't read. I actually graduated from high school without ever reading or completing one book. I didn't know how to read. And they got me and my twin brother through high school by just forcing us through the system. As a matter of fact, we got a chemistry credit for, and all we had to do was go show up for the rest of the semester and clean the desk in the science desk. And they would give us a chemistry credit so that we can graduate with our class. And so we did. So I ended up graduating, but I didn't, I couldn't even read. And I remember that I went on to go to college, to junior college in Fort Worth in Texas. And I did it because that's what my friends did. They all went on to college, and so I went to college. No one ever encouraged me to go to college, though. No one in my family. My brother Tony was the first to actually have a college degree. And so we, I went into junior college, and me and my twin brother, after our first two semesters, ended up with a 0.0 GPA. What happens in college after that? They kick you out. Okay? And so we got kicked out. And I thought, what the heck am I going to do? And so I started working on myself. And that's when I decided that, you know what, I'm going to serve a mission for my church, and I'll learn how to read by reading the scriptures. And I remember I was in a Bible study once, and I was sitting around, and we're reading the scriptures together, and it was my turn to go around Robin and read a couple verses, and I was reading it, and I hear these guys across the way, and they're sitting there snickering at me. And now how do you think that makes me feel for someone who's struggling to read anyways? Even if they're not laughing at me, what do you think I'm thinking? So I finish up, and then after I'm done, they laughing, and they're saying, what version are you reading? Like I wasn't reading the King James Version or something. Because it's just making fun of me because my words didn't even make sense. But I went on, and I continued to do that, and I read several books. I read all the scriptures. And then I decided I was going to go back to college again and give it another try, attempt. And this time, I knew how to read. I had more confidence in myself, and I was going to go make it happen. So I went in, and I got some great tutoring and great assistance to be able to help me. And we had to take some placement tests because I didn't have an ACT. I didn't have a I didn't even take a SAT or whatever that stuff is. But so I had to take a placement test. And to tell me where I would be. My first English class was Jack and Jill went up a hill. What's a noun? What's a verb? Real simple. My first math class started with single digit addition in college. Now, those weren't college credits, but I was paying for those classes. And then I finally got to college credits. So as I got to college credits, I continued. I had a great foundation to build on now. And 5 years later, after I finished up my undergraduate work, I ended up with a 3.89 on the Dean's High Honor List. But was there challenges in my life going through that time? I was homeless twice. I had a family member that was very close to me write a letter to my dad and say, "Hey, Dad, you need to support them. You need to support the twins because they probably won't succeed in college. We all know they'll fail." That's what they said. I wasn't supposed to read that letter, but I found it on the computer and I printed it off. I think somewhere I still have that letter tucked away somewhere in a sealed envelope. But I read that letter. It had good intentions. But as I read it, it says, you know, these guys, we know they'll never become doctors of chiropractic. They'll never succeed in college. But we really need to encourage them to go get a trade because they are good with their hands. And so as I read that, how do you think that made me feel? But I'll tell you what it did after it pissed me off. It motivated me. Because the person who wrote the letter couldn't pass the chemistry classes. I made straight A's through all of them. And once I finished my undergraduate, then I went on to chiropractic school and became a doctor of chiropractic. So that was a strong passion in my life. And it's something I wanted to accomplish. It's something I wanted to do. But I had my naysayers. I had my dream stealers that tried to take away what I wanted to become. And you'll have them in this business. I love what Dave Cibola says. Our number one income earner in prepaid legal. He says, "When I die, I'm going to be buried face down so all those dream stealers can kiss my ass." Yeah. Because, you know, you can get them. You get them, and they will try and tear you apart. My brother Chris, when he was 27 years old, ringing tables at Chili's, no one made fun of him when he was 27 years old, waiting tables at Chili's. But when he, for the first time in his life, decided to go out, become a business owner, do something more for himself, then everyone came out of the woodwork to tell him what an idiot he was. And he didn't listen because he knew he had something. And hey, he's a millionaire. And those guys are still living just a boring, lame, pathetic life. Probably still smoking drugs. So life has changed. I've shared a lot of information with you guys today. And there are the details. So some of you can only see the big picture. Some of you can only get and comprehend the 10 core commitments because it's simple. Just like when Moses, when he was looking for the promised land, the people, they couldn't follow, the Israelites, they couldn't follow all of the commandments. And so Moses went up to the mountain and he came back with 10 commandments. 10 simple things. He said, "Guys, if we can just follow these 10 things, we won't have to wander in the wilderness anymore. These 10 things. Just 10. And some of you, that's where you are. You can handle the 10 core commitments. But when we get into details, some of you may not be able to comprehend these details. I share them with you anyways because I want you to know that as you grow and as you continue to associate with people at a higher level, and have more success than you have, and as you continue to work on your skills, that these things are things that you can work to become great at every one of these details. And when you get great at these details, you will become the leader that you want to become that will inspire an organization of thousands. Most people don't have the ability to inspire an organization of thousands, and thank goodness you're not just given that because you destroy it. But you grow into it. You start with a small organization, and as you grow that organization, as you increase your skills and your leadership ability, now you can inspire the team to do more. And that's where you're worth now leading an organization. Worth is not a good word. You're all worth everything. But you become ready to lead thousands. Does that make sense? I've shared some great information with you, and I want to close it by sharing this story. And, it was a really interesting story because one day I woke up on a Sunday morning, and I looked out my window, and I saw this little birdie. Right on the side, there's this little church. And this little birdie was sitting walking down the road instead of flying. I thought, well, that's really odd. And so as I watched that birdie, I was like, where is this birdie going? And I found out the birdie was actually going to church that Sunday morning. And he walks into this little birdie church, and all these little birdie church who were walking into the church. I thought, you don't see that every day. And so as I walked, I continued to pay attention, and I was watching to see what these birdies are doing. They're all going in this little birdie church. And I kind of looked inside, and I saw there was a preacher birdie up in the front of the room. And the preacher birdie was telling all these birdies, hey, birdies, listen, I want you to know that you can become and have everything that you want. That God has blessed you with wings that you can soar wherever you want to go. And they're like, really? We can? He's like, I can prove it, because if you just flap your wings, you'll see what happens. They start flapping their wings, and next thing you know, they're all flying around in this church, and they're like, wow, we're free, we can fly, we can fly. This is amazing. And then they all walked home from church. I've shared information with you today that will set you free, that will help you accomplish the lifestyle and the dream that you've always accomplished. And I wish that for every single one of you. It's been wonderful being here today with you. Thank you very much, and I'll turn it back over to Mr. Dave Hall. Thank you.
All right. Come on up here. All righty. Isn't that just an amazing story? That's why I allowed my sister-in-law to marry him. Just so impressed that, and keep in mind, I knew him before prepaid legal, so all the stories about being broke and struggling, true, very true. I'm just really glad that, not only do I get to do prepaid legal and enjoy it with my family, but I got other family that are in prepaid legal. I mean, first week of August, all of his family, all of my family, the other brothers and sisters and stuff like that, we're all meeting up down in Durango, Colorado for our annual family reunion down there. We go down there for literally 8 days and just hang out. We go golfing, we go fishing, river running, all kinds of things. And the only thing that we don't like about that trip is we don't have internet to check our daily deposits.
Yeah.
Seriously, we have to get in my mini truck and drive down to the grocery store to get internet access to get online and see how much money we made while we were up in the mountains playing. It's just so much.
You have to make a phone call. You have to stand on this little hill and hold your phone like this.
Yeah. But you know what? How cool is that when your kids can grow up with other family members, their cousins and stuff like that, and we don't have to worry about asking if we can have time off work. I'm sure some of you have been to the family reunions where certain families can't make it because of work. But what if work wasn't an issue anymore? I'm so glad that we're in business together, that we get to hang out and do it. I'm jealous that he has a plane, his pilot's license and stuff like that, because that was on my list. I'm sure it was before on his list, but he beat me to it and stuff. But at least he takes me flying when I'm out there. But we're very fortunate that we have him here in this marketplace. I hope that you've been inspired as much as I have. Even though I knew all those details and those stories, I just get inspired hearing them again and recommitted to doing this business, even more so than I am when I walked in here. And as a little token of our appreciation, I know he's a huge Mac guy, because anytime I have a Mac problem, I call him. Dave, need some help. Got something on my computer. Walk me through that and stuff like that. We've thrown you down a nice little $50 gift certificate to iTunes, because I know there's some new apps you need for your iPad.
That's right.
Out there and
thank
stuff like that.
Much.
Thank you very
appreciate
much.
Thank you.
All right, cheer up. Mr. Yudi, you get the lights. You guys ready to see who's coming next month?
Woo!
All right. Did they catch you? Hold on. We got it. Who knows how to get the lights over there?
I'll wing it.
Wing it. All right. We got a video clip we're going to show you. Talk about inspirational stories. It only gets better and better. Not what I want to hear when someone yells, "Aw, crap." What? Do we need to unplug it right there? I'll tell you, this next month's guest is, if you've had a chance to see her speak at convention or anything else like that, one of the most inspirational stories in all prepaid legal. And I'll give you some details behind the story as soon as we're done with this quick clip. Aw, crap.
You can re-pull it up.
Hold on. Fine.
Our new Miss America 2011 is Tracy Broughton.
Last night, Tracy was crowned Miss America. That's MS America as opposed to MISS America. Contestants need to be at least 26 years old. They can be married, single, or divorced. Pageant officials say the point is for Miss America to use the crown to make a difference on an issue that is personally important to her. Tracy is a 36-year-old single mom from Rodero Ranch. She walks with a crutch. She was in a hit-and-run accident 15 years ago. Actually spent years in a wheelchair and now hopes to be a champion for people with disabilities. Tracy says she was able to overcome her disability through experimental therapy, faith, and perseverance.
You guys? Thank you so much. You guys always remember, yes, you can. Dream really, really big dreams. And when you get home, with all that why that I told you about, write on your piece of paper, I gave up on myself, my family, my dreams, success, because. And the day that you can put something in that line, my best friend quit, I don't like my upline, I couldn't get along with someone, whatever it is, the day you can feel something in that line that's worth your dreams, that's worth getting this crown and prepaid legal, quit. Now, I don't want you to go home and say, Tracy Broughton told me to quit, because I don't want any of you guys to quit. Your why should be big enough where you should have no reason that you'll ever quit in this business. So passionately decide, I will until. And so, you guys, imagine me. If I can do it, why not you? Why not now? Why wait? It's your time. Success is a choice. Choose success. And imagine what it looks like for you to choose success. And you guys can all say with me, I believe.
I believe.
I can.
I believe.
And I will.
Thank you so much. God bless. All right. For those of you that might be a little bit new and not know Miss Broughton's story, 15 years ago she was, it's been about 16 or 17 years now, she was in a very serious automobile accident. And she was paralyzed from the neck down. And the doctors told her she'd never walk again. Doctors told her that she would be in a wheelchair for the rest of her life. And she didn't believe them. And she worked on her physical therapy. And she, within the next few years, not only got access of her arms, but her legs and was walking again. And then she took up aerobics. And she started teaching aerobics. And then she became Miss LA Fitness for LA County and was an aerobics instructor. A few years earlier told you'll never walk again, and now an aerobics instructor. And then tragically, hit for a second time in a very serious automobile accident and paralyzed again. Can you imagine how devastating that would be if you overcame all of that only to be hit a second time? And that's when I met her 11 years ago. I was down in Southern California at an event, and there's about 3,000 people in the room, and they wheeled her in her wheelchair, and she had no ability to move her arms or legs. And she could just move half of her body a little bit. When she talked, it was really, really hard to understand what she was saying because half of her face was not working. And they wheeled her everywhere. And I'm like thinking, my first thought was, how cruel. Somebody signed her up in prepaid legal. I mean, but think about that. When you can't move anything and only half of your face works, I thought, how is she going to sell a membership or recruit anybody? And over the next few months, I went to every single event in Southern California because we didn't have Super Saturdays here in Utah. Our Super Saturdays were in Southern California. And every month, we took our entire team that was active and drove 12 hours to go to Super Saturday. Isn't it a little bit better that we're within at least 4 hours of Super Saturday now for even the far people away? But I got to know her over time. And she told me her story as I got to know her and found out that right before that accident, she found out she was pregnant and she had twins coming. And now she's not just paralyzed for the second time, she's going to be a new mother with twins. Think about how your life is going to be busy now when you're raising her. Her boyfriend at the time told her, you either have an abortion or I leave you because I'm not going to raise you and two children. And she refused to. She goes, you're not worth it. See you later. So now, here she is, a single mom, paralyzed, raising two kids. And she said, you know what, I got to learn to use these limbs so that I can raise these kids. And slowly started her physical therapy. I mean, we're talking 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day physical therapy. And 1 month we showed up there, and I was sitting pretty close to her, and she was smiling from ear to ear, and she was... The people around her were making all this commotion. They're like, why is she making all this commotion? And she was saying, watch, look, watch. And you can see her wiggle her toe. And that therapy that she was in was starting to pay off. She was starting to wiggle a toe in her wheelchair. And we're thinking, well, that's neat and that's monumental. You're wiggling a toe. That's a long ways from walking. That's a long ways from quality of life. And the next month, she was wiggling her foot. And every month when we came back, she was doing a little bit more. And a few years ago, she was walking with two crutches and literally dragging half of her body across the stage. And some of you were there and you remember that. And she said, someday I'll walk without crutches. Someday I'll be able to run with my boys again. And we're still thinking, you know, that's a long ways from running and walking with your kids. But she never quit. She kept doing the system, the rehab, every single day. She's been in the top of small business sales in the company many, many times. She's always in Players Club, always producing, always recruiting. She's doing it as a single mom raising two kids and learning to do what we take for granted, which is just daily functions of life. You got to really think, what is your excuse? If she can go out there and go executive director and be incredibly successful in prepaid legal, when she still has to fit in 5 to 8 hours of physical therapy in her day around her other things and raising two kids at the same time, with no spousal support or family support. Can you agree there's probably something that she's going to share with you that might make you get rid of a few excuses in your business? Absolutely. I don't think you're all going to be able to fit in the room with her here, because it's going to be an absolutely amazing event. A couple notes that I took from Dr. Hughes' training today, and I hope that you took these same notes also. When he talked about the language to your family, if you skip an event, you say, well, I'm doing this part-time business, but that's okay. I'm going to hang out here. What language do you send to your family? If you get up and leave here today and say, well, I'll just see if I can make it next month to the event, what language do you say to your team and your prepaid legal family? Aren't we all family? Aren't we all team? What language do you say to your sponsor? Hey, thanks for me getting the business. I'll try to do it. And Dr. Hughes' response, I'll try to help you. I'd make sure that you have a ticket to that event. Now, I want to talk to the serious people, because I know that a lot of you are going to be here, but I want to talk to the serious people and say, you know what? I'm done trying. I'm ready to do. I'm ready to make this business absolutely excel. I mean, I'm just so impressed with the people, you know, that drive 4 or 5 hours, get up early in the morning and stuff like that to come here. And if you're flying solo, I applaud you for being here. But like Dr. Hughes said, what if you had a whole row of your people here? What if you had you and 4 other people here on your team? And you saw that analogy. What if they came back the following month and each of them had 4 people? And now I've seen you taking up 2 or 3 rows. And that continues to grow. And all of a sudden, 3 or 4 months from now, you've got a whole section and it's just your team. I mean, Brandon, would you agree that it'd be a little bit different experience if that whole section was just only St. George people?
Absolutely.
And they were all on your team?
Yeah.
Are you guys going to make it happen? I think we can fit all of you guys in one van right now. Let's bring 2 or 3 cars up here. Every single person in this room should have that goal. Look, I'm not coming back alone. You buy 1 ticket, I applaud the philosophy. I'm coming back next month. That's a whole lot better than I'll try. People that walk out of here without a ticket, say, I try. People that walk out of here with a ticket, say, I'm coming back. But some of you are going to say, you know what? I'm coming back with a team. I'm coming back, and I'm going to put my team in front of the guest speaker next month, and we're going to blow this business up. The event that I met her at down in Southern California, it was $60 to get into the event. And those of you that were at the training Thursday night, I showed you the application form for the tickets that I still had from 10 years ago. Mike, how much was the cost per ticket? $60. And I never left that event with less than 5 tickets. My mom was there at a lot of those events with me. I always walked out of there with 5 tickets because I knew it's a 12-hour drive to come to this event. And if I'm coming back with people because I hate driving 12 hours alone. Okay? I'm going to make some money if I'm coming back to this event. And when I would open up my wallet each month, I would see 5 tickets in my wallet. And I'm like, oh, I got to recruit. I cannot come back with 5 tickets. My rear end might be big, but I ain't taking up 5 seats. I could lay down and go to sleep on 5 seats that I bought, but I'm going to come back with an army, and I'm going to inspire them to do the same next month. For those of you that are ready to blow your business up, you're going to get 5 tickets for the price of 4. You can get them for $80. You get 5 tickets for the price of 4. It's going to be July 9th. Put that on your calendar. You're absolutely going to want to be here. I look forward to seeing each and every one of you next month at that event. Everybody have a great day. Thank you. If you found a clip, it's hers. Sound table. All right, tickets available at the tool table.